Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege to worship you, from the temple of our hearts, that no matter where we are and no matter what's going on in our lives, we can come to you and our heart is holy ground because that is where you live and where you reside. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we might hear the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Judges, the 14th chapter, verse 5 through 6, it says, "Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came towards him roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father and his mother what he had done." My title is The Lion's Roar. The Lion's Roar. As I was studying a little bit about lions, I discovered that a lion will move into an area and claim it as their own, even if it isn't theirs to claim. And they use roaring as a way to scare off intruders. They use roaring as a way to show, to try to intimidate and scare and show their superiority. I hope you know, friends, that the devil does the same thing with us. You see, if the lion is roaring in your life, it is probably because you have started moving into territory that he has claimed as his own, even if it isn't his to claim. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. We get this same picture in Job, the first chapter, verse 7. When God asks Satan, "Where has he been?" Satan answers the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." Like lions, the devil loves claiming territory that isn't his to claim. In Isaiah 14:13, the enemy says, "I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north." But friends, that is not his territory to claim. In Matthew 4, 8 through 9, the devil takes Jesus to a very high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he says to him, "All these I will give you if you will just fall down and worship me." But friends, those aren't the devil's to give. In fact, according to the Bible, it says heaven is God's throne and the earth is God's footstool. What's even more interesting is we read in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26. It says, "God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" And this last line, check it out, "And let them have dominion on the earth." You see, friends, the only dominion the devil has in this world and in your life is the dominion that you give to him. He has no natural right on anything. He doesn't belong in heaven, he doesn't belong in earth, and he doesn't belong in your life. The only dominion the enemy has in our lives is the dominion that we've surrendered to him. And the thing is, when you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile and he starts roaring and walking and around like he owns the place. And then he attacks when you try to take your territory back. And that's why I often tell people, you gotta expect the roar. You've got to expect the roar. Look, when you start praying, expect the lions roaring. When you start tithing, expect the lions roaring. When you start forgiving, expect the lions roaring. When you step into God's calling, you got to expect the lions roaring. The more you stand up for God's justice and God's truth and God's love, the more you will hear the lions roar. And when the church starts growing, let me tell you, I promise, you're going to start hearing the lions roaring. In the book of Acts, it says, as the church was increasing, a complaint arose. As the church grew, so did the complaining. Friends, that is the lions roaring. 1 Peter 4:12, Peter tells us to not be surprised. Expect the roar. Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery trial. According to verse 5, with Samson, it says that suddenly a lion came roaring towards him. So Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trial. Don't be surprised by the roar. Verse 5, suddenly a lion came towards him. You see, the devil wants to catch us off guard. The devil wants to catch you sleeping. He wants to surprise you, and that's why I say you got to get ready for the roar. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant. Some verses say be watchful. Some verses say stay alert, stay awake. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Right now, the devil is trying to devour some people's lives today. The enemy wants to devour the hope you have in Christ Jesus. The devil wants to devour our faithfulness. You see, Peter knew something about the devil wanting to devour people. Yeah, Peter knew firsthand what it's like to have a roaring lion in his life. And that's what's so powerful about Peter's epistle, is that Peter is speaking from experience. Luke 22, 30, 31, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. So no wonder it's Peter who says in 1 Peter 5, 9, resist the devil. You've got to resist him. You've got to stand firm in your faith. Trust me, you've got to resist the lion's roar. But as we see in the life of Peter, very often Peter did not resist the roar. Friends, Peter knows how hard it was to resist the roar. Peter's been there. He's done that. Peter has the t-shirt. Peter has been through the experience of the devil trying to devour his faith, to devour his ministry. He does it not just when Jesus was with him in the denial that Peter did, but throughout his life, we see Peter struggling with issues. And struggling with issues of racism and prejudice and struggling with issues. Friends, that was the devil trying to devour Peter's ability to be used by God. Peter knows how hard it is to resist the roar. And so what has Peter learned? Because when we get to 1 Peter, we have a much older and wiser Peter. In 12 steps, we have this saying, we say, don't give advice. So if you talk, you're not allowed to give advice. All we want to hear is experience, strength, and hope. Basically, advice can get someone killed, right? You need to know what you're talking about. People don't want to hear advice, you know? Just like parents, how do you like it when someone who's never had kids tells you how to raise kids? You know, married people, how do you like it when single folk tell you how to make a marriage work, right? You know, we don't want advice. No, we want experience, strength, and hope. And that's what is so cool about Peter's epistle, is this is Peter's experience, strength, and hope when it comes to resisting the roar of the lion. 1 Peter 5, 6, this is his solution. Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you. So check this out. First, in the first part of the verse, Peter says, humble yourselves. This word for humble yourselves means to reduce rank. You need to reduce your position. But then by the time you get to the end of the verse, it says, then God will exalt you. And that means the exact opposite. That means high position. That means a higher rank. And so Peter's saying, you've got to go down so that God can bring you up. This is the paradox of Christianity. Really, this is the paradox of recovery. Only by admitting our weakness do we really become strong. We are most powerful when we can admit our powerlessness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says, God's power is made perfect in weakness. Often in recovery, we summarize the first three steps in this. Step one, two, and three. And when you study the 12 steps, you'll notice they just keep in this pattern. One, two, three. The principles of one, two, three. And it keeps cycling back in. But we sum up the first three steps in this simple statement. Step one, I can't. Step two, God can. And step three, I think I'll let him. And it's interesting because as we study this epistle of Peter's, we find that exact same formula for resisting the lion's roar. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on God. You got to cast all your cares on God today because you see, God can't lift you up when you've got so much weighing you down. But the only way you'll ever cast your cares on God is if you, notice, in verse 6, humble yourself. Friends, this is why, just like with Peter and just like my life, this is why God has to let some of us hit bottom before he can ever bring us back up. You know what? I actually consider my bottom of the barrel a blessing. You know why? Because you see, my experience, I don't want to stay there. No one wants to stay in the bottom of the barrel. It's not a blessing like that. No, I consider the bottom of a barrel blessing because now I know, just like it says in John, apart from God, I can do nothing. I have no illusions of grandeur or that I am strong enough to make it on my own. I know that without God, I can do nothing. But some of us actually think we're all right. Some of us think, you know what? I'm pretty good. I'm all right, God. I think I got this. Let me tell you, you are in the most dangerous place. You are right where the devil wants you. People who have temper problems often say, I don't have a temper. Often people who have lust problems say, I don't struggle with lust. Often people who struggle with racism say, oh, I'm not racist. Often we are blindest to our biggest sins and our greatest weaknesses and problems. And the devil has you right where he wants you. When you don't think you need his help, God cannot help you. Let me say that again. God cannot deliver you if you do not think you need to be delivered. Our greatest problem is we want God to help us get out of the problem, but then we just want his help to get out of the problem so we can get back into running the show. Our problem is we want to give God our worries, cast all our cares upon him, but without having to relinquish any control. Yeah, we want to keep our plan, but without the pain. We want all the power, but without the problems. We want all of our pride, but without the pressure. We want salvation, but without transformation. But I'm sorry, you can't have one without the other. If you want to have it your way, you should expect to feel like the world is on your shoulders, because it is. If you want to have it your way, you know, often as we're discussing the plans for reopening the church and and trying to come up with ideas in order to keep people safe and try to make it as safe as possible, but yet get back to worship as soon as possible, you quickly realize that no matter what you do, no matter what you say, people are going to have a problem with whatever the plan is. You see, that is have it your way type theology. But friends, if you want to have it your way, go down to Burger King. That's their motto. That's not God's motto. It's not have it your way. It's have it God's way. Friends, the only way to resist the lion's roar is through surrendering all of our power and control. It's by letting go and letting God. I can't, but he can, and I think I'll let him. James knew this same thing. He gives the same formula in James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Surrender to God. Resist the devil, and then the devil will flee from you. But friends, if you try to resist the devil without submitting or surrendering, man, you won't resist the enemy. You will find the enemy irresistible. You're not going to resist anything. You're not powerful enough to resist. You have got to first submit to God. You got to submit to his power. If you try to take the lions on alone, you've already lost. You don't believe me? Ask Peter. In Matthew 26, 33, Peter says, Lord, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Peter thinks too much of himself. Peter thinks he's stronger than he really is, and he means it. Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you. Satan wants to devour you. He wants to sift you like wheat. You see, friends, this is what makes Peter's epistle so powerful, is this guy speaking from experience. This guy knows what it feels like to have the lion roaring, what it feels like to have the lion breathing down your neck. And that's why 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, stay alert. No wonder Peter's the guy saying, you got to wake up, you got to be vigilant, because the moment you think you got it together, you see, Peter knows how needing to be in control all the time will wear you out. How thinking you have to have all the answers will wear you out. How worrying about status and position and rank wears someone out. You see, Peter was always trying to outrun the other disciples, and that's going to wear you out. Worrying about what other people think will wear you out. Peter found out that pride will wear you out, and he found out how quickly self-will power runs out. In Matthew 26:40, Jesus comes to the disciples and he finds them sleeping. And he says to Peter, could you not watch with me for one hour? Could you not stay alert? Could you not stay awake for 1 hour? Watch and pray, verse 41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation, because you see, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter's talking from experience here. Read that verse and parallel that with 1 Peter. Stay awake. Stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, is a prowling lion seeking for someone to devour. The flesh is indeed weak. Don't believe me? Ask Samson. Look at Samson. In Judges 16:20, you have possibly one of the most sad verses in all the Bible, one of the most sobering verses in all the Bible. In Judges 16:20, it says, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and he said, notice, I will go out as other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He took the power of God for granted. He started getting a little too big for his britches. He started thinking that it was his power instead of God's power. But friends, without God's power, we have no power. In Luke 22:33, Peter says to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison. Lord, I'm ready to go with you to death." And in verse 34, Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me, not once, not twice, but three times, that you don't even know me." Friends, I truly believe that if Peter had been praying three times instead of found sleeping three times, he never would have denied Christ three times. You don't need willpower, Peter. You need prayer power, Peter. You've got to surrender to the power of God. You've got to submit. You've got to humble yourself. In Luke 22:32, I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. But when it does fail, when you have repented and turned to me again, I want you to use this experience to strengthen your brothers. Even though you won't stay up to pray for me, Peter, I've stayed up all night to pray for you. I am the solid rock at the bottom of your barrel. Now, fast forward a few years when Peter is writing his letter. And it's really cool. Remember, Jesus said, "Look, after this, come back to me and then strengthen your brothers and sisters." And friends, that's exactly what Peter is doing now. He's fulfilling Jesus' request. 1 Peter 5:8, you've got to be sober-minded. Friends, you got to be watchful. Christians, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. In recovery, I would often hear people say that their disease, addiction, was outside the room doing push-ups, working out, and getting ready. That if we let down our guard for a minute, if we stop working our program for a minute, if we don't remain vigilant and keep on praying and keep on learning and keep on humbling and keep on seeking God's will for our life and keep on studying the scriptures and keep on praising God. The enemy waits for when you're at the weakest. He waits for when you're not ready. And when he catches you, when you let your guard down for a second, he's going to rush at you, roaring and ready to devour you. And I don't know about you, friends, but I am sick and tired of seeing lives devoured by the enemy. I'm tired of seeing neighborhoods torn apart. I'm tired of seeing people divided and devoured by hate. I'm tired of seeing people running from the calling. I'm tired of people choosing their politics over their brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm tired of seeing people running from the responsibility, running from the recovery, running from their refuge and strength. Peter didn't say, when the enemy starts roaring, start running. No. What did he say? He said, resist him. Stand firm in your faith. You've got to surrender under the mighty hand of God. That's an interesting phrase, the mighty hand of God. We see that throughout Scripture. And Peter connects it in a very powerful way. In Deuteronomy 5:15, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there," notice, "with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." Do you realize, friends, what Peter is saying? The same hand God used to free Israel from slavery can free you today. The same hand of God that kept Pharaoh in check keeps your pharaohs in check today. The same hand that God used to liberate his people, God can liberate you today. The same hand that shut the lion's mouth in Daniel's den, hallelujah, can shut the lion's mouth in your life. Friends, when lions roar, you've got to get under the mighty hand of God. You've got to do what Samson did. Check this scene out with Samson. Verse 5, it says, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. And then verse 6, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. So check it out. The roar of the lion is what activates the Holy Ghost. So the second the lion starts attacking, the Holy Spirit starts falling. I mean, friends, he's called helper for a reason. In fact, the Bible says that he rushed upon Samson. When the enemy attacks you, God rushes to help you. When lions roar at you, God rushes to you. I love that. I looked up that word, rushed. It's an interesting word. It means a lot of things. That's why it's so important to look at the original language. Because this word can mean several things. It means to cut through something quickly. God can cut through whatever problem you have quickly. It means to be effective. It means to be powerful. It means to succeed. It means victory. It means to conquer. It means to win. You want to win when the lions roar. You need the Holy Spirit to rush on you. You need to put yourself under the mighty hand of God. Friends, that is the type of power that you have at your disposal. 1 John 4:4 says that the Spirit who lives in us and in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. You see, Samson wasn't strong. His God was strong. And when he forgot that, he got tore up from the floor up. But after he hits his bottom, we see him at his absolutely strongest. Only when Samson hits bottom does God lift him up. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Judges 16:28 says, then Samson called to the Lord and said, oh Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me. You see, friends, Samson's strength wasn't in his hair. It was in his prayer. When lions roar, don't you dare back down. Friends, the lions of this world are all bark and no bite. The enemy cannot beat you if the Holy Spirit fills you. Check out what happens to this lion. Judges 14:6. It says, the moment the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. Friends, when the adversary starts roaring, I want you to let the mighty hand of God to start ripping. When the enemy tries to rip your marriage apart, let the mighty hand of God rip him apart. When he tries to rip the church apart, let the mighty hand of God rip him apart. When the devil tries to intimidate you with his roar, man, get under the mighty hand of God. When you watch Samson, you find out Samson was the strongest man who ever lived, but without God, he was one of the weakest men who ever lived. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, but without God, the guy was one of the dumbest people who ever lived. Simon was given the name Peter, which means rock, but without God, Peter was not a rock. He was not solid. He was all over the place. He was always worried about what people thought. Even when he's older, Paul has to call him out on it. Peter knows what he's talking about. When he says, look, you got to humble yourself. You can't do it. You're not powerful enough. Peter knows what he's talking about. You see, Peter saw the mighty hand of God working firsthand. Peter saw bread and fish multiplied by the hand of God. Friends, when you don't feel like you have enough, I want you to put what little you have into the mighty hand of God, and I want you to watch him multiply it. The father who brought his epileptic son just had a little belief. Jairus only had a little faith. Zacchaeus was only a wee little man, but in the hand of God, little becomes a lot. You may only have little hands. Your God's got mighty hands. Hallelujah. Get under the mighty hand of God. Peter saw people healed by the hand of God. You want healing today? You got to put yourself under the mighty hand of God. Peter was saved by drowning by the mighty hand of God. Are you drowning today? Maybe you're drowning in decisions. Maybe you're drowning in debt. Maybe you are drowning in the depression. Check this out, Matthew 14. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately, when Samson needed strength, what did the Holy Spirit do? Rushed. Check this out. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Hallelujah, friends. Heaven is in a hurry to help you and me. And when heaven gets a hold of us, he'll never let go of us. Mark 5:41, taking her by the hand, he said to this little dead girl, "I say to you, arise." You see, friends, death can't even keep Christians down if they've placed their life under the mighty hand of God. John 10:28, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of the mighty hand of God." Friends, when lions roar, telling you there's no way out of this, telling you there's no way God can save you through this, telling you there's no way you'll ever make it through this, that you're not powerful enough, that you're not worthy enough, I want you to tell those lions, I want you to say, "You're right, but you see, I've put my life under the mighty hand of God, and I may not be powerful enough, I may not be worthy enough, I may not be good enough to enter into the kingdom of heaven." But notice Revelation 5:5, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered." Friends, nothing shuts the devil up like the real Lion King, Jesus Christ. There is no sin Christ has not covered. There is no mistake Christ has not made up for. There is nothing the enemy can say about you that Jesus does not already know about you, and yet he still died for you. Stop running from sins Jesus has already forgiven. Stop running from the roar of the lion. Peter knows what he's talking about. He saw the mighty hand of God at its mightiest. He saw the mighty hand of God as it was nailed to a cross for sins Jesus did not commit, and for lies Jesus never told, and for hate that Jesus never had. Friends, Jesus knew what injustice feels like. And in order to give you a scarless body for eternity, the mighty hand of God will wear scars for eternity. I want you to let that love grab a hold of your life today. And I want you to let it lift you up out of the sin and selfishness. I want you to let it lift you up out of all the pride and prejudice. I want you to let it lift you up out of the denial and the dishonesty. Let the love of Calvary lift you up and the Holy Spirit fill you up. When lions roar, rip them apart under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5:10. When the lions roar, I want you to remember this. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, and strengthen and establish you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I want to thank you that the lions of this life have nothing on the Lion of Judah. That if I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that's when all the worry can go away. That's where all the manipulation and the feeling like I've got to control the world and I have that world on my shoulders, that when I humble myself under your hand, you give me the power I need. I step into your plan for my life. You will start to reveal the sins of my heart that I can't even see. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will see that just like with Samson, when the lion started roaring, the Holy Spirit started falling, that we have a helper with us who's going to be with us forever. I pray that the mighty power of Jesus Christ, that the wondrous love of Calvary would take grab of us and lift us up, that when we are in the grip of Christ, we can never slip that grip. Lord, I pray for victory, that we may repent of our sins and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we know that when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that you will exalt us in due time. We thank you, we praise you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. I pray for victory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.